What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, alternative exercises for those who cannot. This week, our guests are Bubba Wilson, Sean Reedy, and Bob Marley. So, Bob, obviously, how often do people say Bob Marley and then they look around for a black guy with dreads?
All the time. It's unbelievable how often people are expecting something totally different.
And they don't realize he's been dead for 30 years.
Yeah.
And actually, I know two Bob Marleys. So when I was at podcast conference last summer, there was a guy named Robert Marley that goes by Bob, and he's a short white guy. Lives up in like Rhode Island, I think.
And no dreads on him either?
No dreads. Yeah. No. He plays disc golf. So that was his podcast. So I know
I can't do dreads.
Two
I
can't. White Bob Marleys. So. All right. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. We were talking about, or they were talking about fishing and kayaking there at the beginning. Maybe we'll catch that stuff towards the end of the show. If you want to join our conversation, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/alternatives. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/alternatives. The objective for the show today is really just what the topic is, alternative exercises for those who cannot. So if we have that kid that wants to work but can't because of an ankle injury or an elbow injury, and he can't go over there and do push-ups or can't do squats or running, then we need to have some other exercises. And then also there's that kid that doesn't want to work, that has an ankle injury, that we need to find something for him to do, or he's going to get either, you know, somebody pregnant or in trouble. Something
further
like
behind in other ways.
Yeah. And so to avoid all that extra trouble, Sean's put in a whole bunch of stuff on the show notes, and we're going to be demonstrating some of that. So again, on the YouTube channel, again, there's a link to that on the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You'll be able to follow along more, but we'll be doing our best to describe here in the audio of what is going to be happening. So there's, again, a whole list here in the show notes, and this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/alternatives. So without much further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my lovely co-host, Sean Reedy.
Vanna
White.
Lovely bearded.
Yeah.
never gotten that. I mean, with me, the biggest thing that I do with a lot of this stuff, or the first thing that I thought of, was at practice. At practice, you've got kids that are sitting on the bench. You've got kids that are sitting on the sideline. You've got kids that are doing whatever. We obviously, when I was at Rice, had a setting where we could utilize the strength coaches somewhat and things like that. But there's also a lot of things, in my personal opinion, that we can do to get those athletes better and not just focusing on their rehab, because if they're coming in for a treatment or if they're coming in for rehab, they better be doing all of their stuff for their injury, that be that the ACL, be that their ankle injury, be that whatever. But I always do a lot of very similar stuff for these athletes and for these kids, but so that in general it kind of comes back from my strength conditioning side, but also from the rehab base, that it's going to make them better, it's going to make them perform better, it's going to probably actually, when you go back and things in and look at the injury or the initial injury, was it a posterior weakness that caused the valgus stress or that caused the valgus drop that caused the ACL tear, or was it the posterior weakness that called the valgus stress that was causing them to pronate a little bit more, which then ended up causing the ankle or whatever that you're talking about. So I, in my practice time, try and utilize that and utilize those things, because obviously rehab, yeah, we got to use them five. We got to do stuff 5 days a week. So it was nice and easy that I can do rehab 5 days a week, which a lot of places you cannot do that. And that might not be easy to do. But these are things that, all right, now I'm potentially getting them for 3 workout sessions with the strength coaches, and then I'm getting them 5 days a week during rehab and or treatment, whatever they're doing for their recovery, and then during their practice time, I'm getting able to do this stuff. So a lot of this stuff, always in a general injury, I always focus on the posterior, because I think there's a lot of issues there, and there's always a lot of weakness, mainly in the butt hamstring group. I always work the go muscles over the show muscles, or I like to work your go over your show.
All right, explain that to me real quick. What do you mean?
So your go muscles are everything in your back. That's what drives you. That's what pushes you. That's what makes you go forward. Everything that pushes you in a direction of sport, of athleticism. Your show muscles are everything. When you look at yourself in a mirror, that's the things that you see. That's your, now, obviously, yes, in football, you need the drive, you need the bench, and you need the press to be able to push away, and you need a lot of that. By no means not saying that, but a lot more of your athleticism and a lot more of your drive comes out of the posterior. A lot of our issues come out of our posterior, such as the seated position that we are in so much, getting that tight hip flexor, loosening up that posterior there in the glutes, there in the backside. So the glute and the backside exercises are something that I focus on all the time. And I will honestly, there's probably not an injury that I haven't had somebody do the glute band or something like that. And what the glute band is, or a different type of that, is the small circular bands. They're very similar to a TheraBand. I'll have them place them around their knees. I'll have them sometimes place them around their hips. I'll sometimes have them place them around their ankles, depending upon how intense I want to make the exercise and how intense I want to push them, especially if they're a more advanced athlete. Those are really nice if you don't have those, which obviously they're not really expensive. I think when you purchase them from different sources, a couple bucks probably for your different colors. But something that we utilize a lot, or I personally utilize a lot, is it's called the hip circle. Mark Bell, it's actually what I brought you for the bench pressing today, Jeremy. He makes one of these as well. It is the same type of material, but it comes around and goes around your knees. Very similar to that. They're more expensive. They're around $30-some. But it's something that I know we had purchased and put in our athletic training room there at Rice and utilized a lot for a lot of that glute stuff. So, and then how I utilize that is I utilize that as in a walking, in a monster walks, in a side walks, in a squatted position side walk, in a squatted position forward, backward walk. I will also, a lot of times, something that I will have them do, come up, and when you're in a standing position, really have them drive their hips forward, really get that tilt. And what I always like to tell guys is drive your belt buckle, push your belt buckle out. So pretend like you had a rodeo belt buckle on and you want to show that to everybody. So that's really going to keep you driving and squeezing your butt. And then as you do that, you can walk a straight leg. Now obviously this has a band here around your knee in that knee position. You're going to be butt squeezed tight forward, out and forward, and then I will have them come back, and that hip drive, hip extension back actually gets that good activation as well. All of which are different things that can be added to the typical monster walks. Something else that I'll do after that, or actually one thing that I'll add to that, is a different band that I use. A lot of guys use the big super bands. So the super bands are more of a larger band that obviously comes, I don't know, how would you guys explain those? You know what I'm talking about.
6 foot.
Yeah. Once you press it out, it is a circular band, but it's more
dense.
It's more dense. You can actually put a lot of weight on them. Some of them actually have it would go up to like 100 pounds on each band or more.
Right. They're kind of replacing chains on bench type stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of those, and that's something that I have a lot of personally, as well as we used a lot there at Rice, was you can wrap those, have that come around your feet, and hold it up into this position and use it there where you're getting that movement side to side. A little more difficult when you're going forward because you're not getting that encircled encumferenced around the knee position, but you are getting more of a lateral movement and that abduction type movement and that actual hold.
And by getting your arms up there, you're getting
scapula. Exactly.
And also the core, because that's one of the biggest problems I have, is that we concentrate on upper or lower body, but when you can double both of them up, then you're getting...
That's a perfect thing, and you can actually have them sit here, and you can fire the core out. You can have them drive out, so I'm guessing I'm kind of squatting down so that you can see my hand, where my hands are out, but you have your hands out in front of you. What I'll actually do is keep them, and sometimes put them overhead with a lighter band, obviously, and I'll have them stand overhead into that almost snatch position and do it like that. There I'm getting a true core. I'm getting shoulder stability. I'm getting somewhat of an isometric there. The one thing that I always do make sure that they know when we're doing this is I make sure that they know how to fire their core. Because the last thing I want is I don't want that extension. I don't want that, oh, I'm going to pop that rib up or I'm going to drop that rib out and let that rib flare.
Yeah.
Instead of keeping in tight, keeping a drive, and potentially causing a back injury or some other injury, or training them into a incorrect movement pattern. So that's a big one that with every rehab exercise I will do is that glute exercise.
Well, and the baby step to that glute exercise is clamshell.
Absolutely.
You know, so the kid in the boot, you know, the post-op knee, that's a clamshell kid. You know, just real quick, back up for a second, because I know every coach is different. Every school setting is different. How were your coaches at Rice about, did they want them at some point in practice watching what was going on, or were they yours?
Absolutely. No, we would have certain kids, quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are always huge. And I think this was not only at Rice, but other places that I've been where, you know, the quarterbacks have to be there doing signals. If they're hurt or if there's an injury or there's something wrong, you don't really get them during practice. So these are more of your ones that, all right, I've got a couple days that probably, honestly, this guy's going to be out this week because they're not the one that I need to be mentally ready for Saturday or Friday or whatever that might be. These are the ones that I need to be just getting better, that where the coaches will say, you do what you can, make them better, make them get stronger. Let's get them back by next week. Right. These aren't usually my, it's month or it's Tuesday and I want them back by Saturday, because if they're back by Saturday, they need to be starting to get in on the plays, at least watching the plays, at least seeing what's going on, seeing what that offense or what that defense, that opponent's offense or defense is going to do, seeing what the issues are going to be there.
Yeah, and the last coach I had, he was pretty good. These guys, I need you to get them done as quick as possible so they can go watch. These guys, everybody else needs to be done by team. And then at team, they all went and had to learn in theory, you know. And but if you know that going in, it makes it easier on how you handle what's going on too. But everybody's different. I was just curious.
Yeah, and it a lot of times too will depend upon during camp, the time of year. During camp, you know, they don't really want them when they're doing like tackling drills and they're doing other drills. But when they're learning the base defense or the base offense or something like that, they always want them. And it all is dependent upon that. And during the spring, sometimes they say, hey, they're yours, because they know what we're doing. We're not changing a whole lot. They're going to meetings. Or, hey, you can't have them at all because we're completely changing the offense over, and they need to be here for that. So that is all dependent. But you're correct. The baby of that is the clamshell. And then an additional aspect of the clamshell is the banded clamshell, placing that band around the knee, having them get into that position. And in that, what I always make sure and tell people is, me personally, when we get into that clamshell position, is drive those knees up, keep that neutral spine, keep that nice tight butt, stack those heels, and then open up so that we're actually getting true glute there instead of opening and going different directions
or rolling.
Well, I was lucky enough, I had an I-beam shaped wall, so we had a table set up. They could put their back against that wall and they couldn't cheat. You know,
and you'll get a lot of that rolling.
Yeah, even if you're just doing straight abduction, straight leg raises, get against the wall. Well, this is harder.
That's the issue that a lot of but that is the problem, and that it was the one lucky thing that I had, and a lot of the settings I have had, is that I get to watch them. I get to keep my eyes on them, because, you know, there's a couple other athletic trainers out there that are, you know, covering practice. I'm also covering practice, because if something goes on, I'm keeping my eyes on the field. I'm usually in a corner where I can watch the field and make sure if anything goes on. But I've got these three or four guys, or, you know, sometimes it would get to 10 guys or something like that, where we're doing work with them, or or we're just trying to add stuff.
And I think one of the other things that goes overlooked on doing it out there is their teammates see them working. And that's huge. The coaches see them working. They're not hidden in the training room. You know, the post-op kid needs to be hidden in the training room. But that kid that can get out there, they need to go dress like everybody else. They need to sweat, and they need to be seen working, because that goes both ways. Their teammates see them and their coaches see them doing something.
Coaches, you know, coaches watch that. They're looking over there. They're seeing that rehab group going.
Right.
They know what's going on.
And they'll go, ooh, I like what you did with them today. You know, I mean.
So one thing I want to make sure we hit is how do you do this practically, right? So if Bill's out, I'm in here taking care of rehabs, how do I manage those kids out there? So we can come back to it at the end of the exercises, but be considering how, what does that look like for you, Bob? What does that look like for you, Bubba? What did that look like for you, Sean? And also consider that in the secondary setting, there are plenty of schools that have one athletic trainer. So we'll come back to that, though.
I will actually say one thing about that. I mean, we can definitely come back to that, but I will say one thing, and this is one thing that I always educate, and that is before, and I think this is huge with any athlete. Now, granted, when I was at Rice, I had a lot different athlete than some people do. I will 100% admit that. I was very lucky to actually get the buy-in of some when we work rodeo. You know as well as I do that that is a completely different athlete than your normal animal. But the one thing that I always did was do a lot of explanation of why I'm keeping this knee position, why I'm keeping that foot position, why I want you to not pronate, why I want you to not...
Why you can't rotate when you're laying on your side.
Yes. And now, yes, a lot of those Rice kids would be like, oh, now I understand this because I'm pre-med or I'm trying to be a physical therapist or something like
I'm
that.
I'm an engineer.
I'm an engineering major. This is easy to me. But I would also... I mean, I've done this with the junior college kids, and I can promise you none of them are going to be engineers, or not none of them, but some of them will not be engineers. I went to junior college as well, so...
You're not an engineer.
I'm not an engineer. But some of those kids were, you know, they were the only reason they went to college was because they were playing football, and that was their basis. So the explanation that I would give to them was to make an understanding of this is why this is going to happen. And then from there, I build on, this is why your core needs to be on at all times. This is how you need to teach that core so that, and I would try and instill it in them that any rep that they were cheating or stealing from their rehab or from this training was actually stealing from getting them back onto the field, getting them to game day, getting them to wherever. Very similar to like what the strength coaches do. I mean, I've gotten the... very, very, been very lucky to work with some phenomenal strength coaches. And every one of them, every strength coach I know, it pushes, you cheat a rep in here, you cheat a rep on the field, you cheat your team. That's the same thing. That's what I like to try and push on guys is you cheat a rep or you half a rep or you do something that's not right and I've educated you on it. Now, yes, your anatomy may be a little less or your kinesiology, whatever, might be a little less, but you understand what you're expected, what the expectation is that I have of you. So
it's education and having them go through the exercise a couple of times with your tutor, with you watching them and training them, then the light comes on and you know when that light comes on with that athlete, then you're a little more comfortable with letting them go off and maybe do some reps and do some of that stuff on their side while you're working with somebody over here. Mm-hmm. You can still kind of keep an eyeball on them. And that's where student trainers become very viable, very helpful. Because as they learn those exercises, they know what to look for. Mm-hmm. They take a lot of pride in coaching those kids. Mm-hmm. So you can use those too.
And you talk about them cheating. I was a fan of the Swin Aerodyne for that reason. There's that noise you get in your ear that you can hear from 50 yards away. Speed it up, Sean. You're cheating. Uh-huh. Oh, no, you're not. Yeah, you know.
You'll see on here, that's one of my favorite things. The Aerodyne or any air bike, that's one of my favorite things. You can get so much out of it. You can adapt it to so many different injuries. Throw a leg up on.
Right.
Take an arm off. Throw another leg up on if they can't run.
But you know the noise it's supposed to make. And you can be, again, 50 yards away and go, like, Bob, speed it up. How do you know I'm not?
You're not at 50 calories, or you're not at 50 RPMs, or you're not at something. Yep. No, I absolutely understand that.
Yeah.
But then, just I guess going from the posterior is there's other exercises that then I'll do is I'll build them up from there. I'll continue on more posterior stuff. I do a standing. I call it the Captain Morgan's. It's very similar to the Captain Morgan stance that you see on the TV or on whatever, unbanded, nothing going on.
Get on camera, Vanna.
Basically, the gist of it is is you'll get him to stand, you'll get him into that single leg position. It's very similar to that lunge position when you know you start to get that glute up, and you'll get that nice, good 90-degree angle here. Nice, tight belly, nice squeezed butt. We're not flexing. We're not overextending. We're not having to hike up because we've got issues here. We're nice and tight. So the knee's about to 90 degrees. The butt is nice and tight. Mm-hmm. The belly's nice and tight. Our chest is nice and tall. Chin over your chest. And then I'll have them stand here. And I'll have them stand here for 30 seconds. And as you start to do this, that opposite glute just lights up.
Yeah.
And then what I'll go from here is I'll take them out. And I'll go to about 45 degrees. So from here, now you're starting to light them up a little bit more. They're actually starting to, you know, okay, I'm getting a little burn. And you can actually get Max, Mead, Min throughout this kind of this movement. You're working adductors. You're working that stability. You're working ankle stability. You're trying to make sure that they're not pronating. They're not dropping that knee in. You're watching that. I'm always watching that foot position. Foot position is huge with me leading up to the in the lower extremity. And then what I'll do is I'll usually go out in a fully, I guess, externally rotated, abducted, not really externally rotated, but abducted position. And I'll stay here for about 20 seconds. And once you get here, after you've done these three positions, you just light up.
Do you ever put them on an unstable surface with that? I mean, it's not really a functional thing, but I think just to maybe force the glutes to work a little more
true.
On occasion.
I don't, just because usually I'm out on grass, or I'm out on the turf, because that's where I'm doing this. This is one of my exercises where I send them right here and, all right, you go do this. We're going to do 20 rounds of 10 seconds, or we're going to do 10 rounds, or we're going to do whatever, and we're going to get that, we're going to have you do that. So I probably won't do a unstable surface, but in a rehab setting, I would absolutely do an unstable surface because I'm getting a little bit of, you know, balance position there. I can get this. I can also work the glute at the same time. I'm all about multi-joint and working different areas outside of just, all right, we're going to do some balance for that ankle. Make sure that you don't pronate or something like that.
I think we underestimate the value of just standing.
No, yes.
Standing correctly.
Right.
Whether it's one leg, both legs, depending on what injuries we've got.
Right.
Just doing it correctly.
We've lost so much of postural control because our life tends to be in
just
this
right here.
Sit downward position, rolled shoulders.
Look
at your phone. Head forward type position that we've gotten to this where just standing and standing in a good posture, like there are a lot of people that I've worked with that's the issue. And once I do some of those exercises, like postural exercises, it wears them out. So, I mean, and I know you guys have done the same thing, just getting a guy back into the corner, doing some of the reverse push-ups, trying to get the rhomboid scapular stuff, getting out of that corner. I mean, that stuff is just lights you up in the back. And they're like, oh, I've been walking around like this all the time. Now it makes me want to open my chest up and stuff like that.
That's one of the things I think K-tape's great for. You put it back there to force them to get open here.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a reminder.
That may be it.
And that's one thing that I love to use it for. I mean, there's a lot of Band-Aid methods that people say about K-tape, and a lot of people that put it down. But that's a great use for it. There's a lot of different pulls for it that we've used. So,
one thing you've touched on several times, and that's the importance of breathing and how we control our breathing, where we're breathing from. Because a lot of these kids, especially the high school and junior high kids, they're taking these short little breaths and not really opening up, and they're not controlling how they're doing stuff. And that's changing the way they're using their core, their lower extremities, tying everything together. And I know a lot of therapists are. They're concentrating on teaching, and you talked about getting your belt buckle up and chest up and breathing that way. A lot of these people are just breathing just to exchange air, and they're not thinking about what it does to the core.
I always call them the mouth breathers that you sit and they're, yeah, I mean, you can tell that they're not getting that pull in that air. They're not using all lobes of their lung. They're not using their full lung. They're just using the upper portion of their lung. And I mean, that's actually a huge aspect. And I've done a lot of researching and stuff like that into postural breathing and types and things like that, and inputting some of that into your actual rehab stuff. And there's like some mobility stuff that you can do with some of the soft balls there for the abdomen. or just, actually get
just
up
putting
in that
their
area
hand on there
and just yeah. putting them yeah just putting them in a better position. Hey, I'm starting to pull better oxygen. It's like a CPAP machine when you're sleeping for somebody that has issues with that, you know. So
well, there's a few that are lucky it's an involuntary action, but that's that's a different talk altogether, you know. So
but so the other thing then that I'll do is I actually really like a true glute extension, and I learned this I think this was something that we talked about, Jeremy, with on the things that are going on in apps and stuff like that. Was Brent Brookbush is a PT CSCS, I believe. He does a lot of online like CU and or training. I don't think that they do NATA CUs, but they put out some amazing stuff from your base level personal trainer all the way up to your master physical therapist or someone that's worked in the profession and understands it for years. They put out a lot of great information. And what I'll actually do is this typically needs a table, but understanding that this is our table now. So what I'll do is I'll actually have them hang that leg off the table. As they hang that leg off the table or hang it off of the, I mean, this is something that I'd even do outside, obviously on our benches or on things like that, is when I get them into this position off that table, I'll get them laying down, I'll get them in a tight belly, squeeze that belly first. As they squeeze that belly, they then squeeze that quad on the right, on my right, or on the table, on the pad. As they squeeze that, what they do then is that pulls them and draws them up onto the table somewhat. And then finally, I'll have them squeeze the quad in the other leg. And as they do that, that takes out any hamstring position. As I have them squeeze that quad, squeeze that, I'll have them do a hip extension. And as that hip extension comes up, that is, to me, one of the best ways. And they will show and they will feel, holy cow, my butt just worked.
Yeah.
And I'll have them do that before any of these exercises so they actually feel what I'm actually trying to get them to do. So I'll throw them on there. I'll say, hey, let's go get some of your true glute extensions, hip extensions. And after you do that, now let's go do your clamshells. Now let's go do all of that stuff. And we're sitting out on the field. They're doing all that stuff because they know how it felt. The mule, the donkey kicks, have them sit out there. I have them do that all the time.
The mule. What's the mule? I'm not familiar with.
Mule kick. Get that nice tight position, tight belly. Squeeze that, flatten that back. Pull those scapulas down. And
oh,
you can
okay.
go here, or you can go
okay.
to the ceiling, heel up.
I wasn't familiar with that name. That's
I know there's a lot of different names that are probably out there for it, but get that posterior. So what that is basically doing is you're on all fours, tightening your belly, squeezing your butt, and actually doing a hip extension, kick back, or you're actually doing a kick up where I take and I'll have them kick their foot to the ceiling. Keep that foot flat to the ceiling. So I say,
yeah, try not to rotate.
I want you to knock out that ceiling tile, but I don't want rotation. I don't want any movement. I don't want anything like that.
So, I know one of the variations I've seen more advanced on your true glute extension is basically like a concentric eccentric. They're bringing their leg all the way down, foot in essence touching the floor, and then coming back up, mm-hmm. slow and controlled into extension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've got that eccentric coming down and controlling that leg, and you know the concentric coming back up.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And then you could throw an ankle weight on there.
I'll a lot of times do that and actually have them go slow down the very slow eccentric lower, 5 second eccentric lower. I love eccentric, so I'll have guys do that all the time. So like an eccentric,
the Russian hamstring.
Oh yeah.
I just saw a recent video from the prehab guys. You can find them on Twitter.
That's a pretty good site.
They are awesome. Yeah.
And so as we're talking too. About the kickbacks or whatever, one of the things they were mentioning is making sure your pelvis doesn't tilt forward when you're doing those because you want your core to stay straight and tight. So, again, while we're doing those, I know you mentioned, you know, those things, but that's a really simple one that we have to check and make sure are they doing it correctly. And then that goes back to Bob saying, hey, mm-hmm. have them do a couple reps here and then go out on the field so you right. can kind of check
and,
them.
And that's, to me, one of the most important things. And I guess I probably got a little preemptive by going on the posterior first. But, like, the core is 100% so much of the issue all the time that you need to first make sure that they can fire the core.
Yeah.
And first, they know how to. I mean, you can do that with your hand, having them lay down, draw in through a small straw. All of these, you guys have probably done all of these different things. Or the blood pressure cuff, that putting them on their back, making them drive in, the pillow under their back. I mean, that is my base rehab. But if I'm dealing with an ankle kid that can't have, that doesn't have good postural control or doesn't have good abdominal firing and is weak in the core, he's going to have a lot of issues. He's not going to be able to fire correctly while I'm doing this ankle rehab. And then that's where he's going to, or a back kid that doesn't fire their core when they squat. So now he's herniated a disc, or now he's got a spondy or something like that.
Right. And they can't do something as simple as step down from one step to the next because they collapse because their core isn't, you know,
absolutely
working. That goes back to what he was talking about, where he's standing up and bringing one knee up.
Right.
Parallel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All that stuff, it all ties together.
Right. Absolutely.
One of the things, you know, talking about the pre-op guys, one of the things I saw from them just jumping to the shoulders, I don't know how it got the name Sharapovas, but I love it. And that's a band here
at the Tennis Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who she is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and against the wall, and they're doing the same thing here. Just yes. You know, and I don't know how it got the name Sharapovas, but maybe that's the first person they saw doing it. But
those are awesome. And I mean,
just think doing that as a plank, you know.
Having that in a plank position,
yeah.
A really advanced plank position, have that. I have a lot of guys, I know that Roland actually does
DS2, some
of
those I was just things gonna say.
With his deal, with his DS2, but I've used a lot of that on those. You actually can go out and touch those different dots and stuff like that. Man, that's a great deal now, but something you can't really have out on the field. But now the band, I definitely have those bands out on the field while we're practicing, and those are the five kids that are over there doing it. Because I guess going back to it, I honestly would rather them get some work in. Yeah, they might not be getting conditioning and a full day's practice, but at least they're getting better,
right,
to get back onto the field.
With bands, you can make anything. You can make anything an exercise with bands.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So,
And sometimes you're just creating an exercise to give them something to do for another 5 minutes until it's time for them to go over there, which is nothing wrong with that either at times.
I mean, strap a band around their waist and have them do squats while you're pulling on the band, all that stuff.
So I guess the other thing, back to the core stuff, is kind of what I had started to do, core training first. And I do a lot of core stuff I teach guys in any rehab again or any return to play or anything a lot of the core things, and that is stuff like, I like to follow a lot of the Watkins protocol with Dr. Marco. That was one that he liked to use, our doctor that we had at Rice, so I kind of based some of my stuff off of that and followed along with that. It's a really good back protocol. Is it the back protocol? No. I think that they need to add a little bit of rotational aspect to it. I think that there's some other additional things that they can do. But
it's a good starter.
It's a good starter. It's what he always gives his patients when we come in, and we take it and we build upon it just like every other athlete.
Well, I think it's also, though, we always talk about get them on pre-op ACL stuff. What is that? It's quad set, straight leg raise, some flexion. That's the foundation, and then we build everything off of that. Same thing with that.
Exactly.
You know.
And so I'll start them off of that. And one of my favorite ones off of that is the dead bug. The dead bug is something that I can sit there and I will follow two different ways. There's the Eric Cressy dead bug, which is Eric Cressy. He's the performance coach, does a lot in the baseball world. And then that also kind of goes with the Watkins protocol dead bug that does the kicking arms. You watch your arms, you keep that neutral spine, you keep that belly down. But one that I've kind of found that I really like, and I know that because I've done it myself, and I really like putting myself in that position, and it burns you up, and it actually preps you really good for the squat. It's a great warm-up. It's a great training. It's a great rehab tool. It's a great just basically builds on everything, on a back squat, on a pull, on all of your different movements. I get it from Power Athlete. They're a group. They used to be out of California. Now they're in Austin. They do. They were the podcast that I was actually talking about last week that I get a lot of stuff from. But they're more of a strength and conditioning group. and they do a dead bug that's a little different, but I build a lot on it. And I enjoy doing it because it's a little easier from the, it's a little different from the traditional dead bug. So what you actually do is you have them lay on their back. Your low back starts to come off. The big things that I look for is, or that they ask to look for, is if your low back comes off the ground, you don't want that arching position. So obviously in any type of core exercise, you're wanting that nice neutral position, that nice core drive. Ribs elevate, you don't want those to pick up. You don't want the tailbone to come off the ground. C-spine flexes or goes into extreme extension. You don't want it coming off the ground. You don't want the knees to bend at all. And you don't want the hips to go into extension. So what you are actually doing is you're getting them in that true dead bug position here. No flexion in the knees, a tight belly, low back's not off, tailbone's He's still in position.
You've got to hold that for the rest of the podcast.
And you're holding this. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how this works. So, and that's one that I can sit while I'm watching practice, and I know I can see if a guy's
right
bending.
His legs are moving, his arms are moving.
I'll give them my stopwatch. They know what this time is that they're supposed to reach. They're here. They're in this position. Now, obviously, you can get to more of the Eric Cressy, the Watkins protocol, where you come here, same thing, nice tight belly, same thing, you're in this nice position, tailbone on the ground. You're not lifting your head. That head is nice and flat onto the ground. You're down, and you're working through here.
Sean, do you ever, I know in some of the back stuff that I was taught, we put a dowel or a PVC pipe, like say if you're going in quadruped,
yes,
doing some things, just to look for that rotation, you could do the same thing in dead bug.
Absolutely.
You know, just to make sure that they're staying, that
absolutely,
they're actually activating the core. And
absolutely. And that'd be a great thing to be able to sit and watch while I don't have a cue of, I'm watching you because I'm also watching practice, but that's something that's going to make you better.
Right.
No matter what, you do dead bug for 10 minutes.
For any sport. Yeah.
Not 10 minutes straight, 10 sets of one or
right,
10 or 5 sets of two or something like that. But you do dead bug for a while at practice, that is going to improve you in rehab because now you're going to have an understanding of how your core works in comparison to how your knee moves on the field.
Right.
Or in comparison to how your knee moves in rehab.
And if you can teach them pelvic neutral,
yes,
to do these exercises, and once that light comes on, then we're way better,
yeah,
as well.
All right, so real quick, Sean, I'm going to jump down there, and you're going to evaluate my dead bugs.
You're
what
dead.
What I normally do during a workout.
You've
right?
been sprayed with
so
Raid.
Hop you're over, dead. And then they use the green light.
I'm not demonstrating, Jack.
I am not either.
All right, so normally when I'm we're doing the dead bug, I'm here, and then
what I like to do is I like to keep those hands in, facing in towards each other. Pull those shoulders back. What you're doing by that is that makes you pull those scapulas back. Pull those shoulder blades back. As you come down and as you now squeeze that belly, draw that belly down and in so that you're, there you go, so that you're not in that actual extension, spinal extension, low lumbar extension. You've now pulled that into that neutral position.
This would be another one.
Make sure you keep that head straight. Now, just by doing some of that, that's probably making that a little bit more difficult, isn't it?
Yep.
That's making you really fire, and that's making everything really tight. So now, start. What you can actually do is you can keep them here. This is a position that I will leave some guys in, and as long as they're doing it correctly, I'll leave them here in this position. And all right, I'm watching.
Get your ankles up.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Don't drop those. Don't drop those feet. Keep those hips. What you can also do is you can also come in here and get some manual resistance against them. Rotational. Now I'm adding a rotational component. I can have them hold a band into this position. Tie a band to, we would actually tie a band to the tent there out on the practice field. And I'd have them sit there, bring those hands together and hold onto that band. It's a very anti-rotational addition to it.
Is there any harm for doing a band around his knees right there at the same time?
No. Now, the one thing that I like to do with that dead bug position, though, is go back up into that, Jeremy, is I'll put it around their feet, a very light, like the yellow
right
circle band. I'll put it here around their feet, and as he goes to drop that foot down and pull that knee up, he is now getting that resistance there. You get a little hip flexor work. You get actually a little bit of drive work out of the hip.
It's a different core exercise. You can, while doing that, bring in a band here and be holding a band from above you. And with that band above you, now you might pull it down. That actually gets a better fire here in the abdomen, especially if it, keeping you out of extension. Go ahead and relax.
What about hooking a band to the left foot and the right arm?
Anything you can do is great.
I'm just thinking of it going from an adductor standpoint for rehab. You could almost put them in that position because the core is going to be a problem in that injury too.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to hold something between their knees.
I've had them hold a football between their knees on the football field.
You could wait. You could go with a med ball or something like that too.
You drop a med ball.
But I'm talking about a 2 pound.
If, you know,
I learned from experience.
If you go super simple on it and you go back to the like day one post L5 S1 surgery.
Yeah.
L4, L5, whatever you're talking. And you go into... All right, we're going to put a – we can go as simple as we're going to put a ball under your feet, and we're going to make you stay tight.
Right.
And we're just going to make you not let that ball roll out from under you.
So right now your head is off the ground.
Yes. Sorry.
Why?
Because I'm looking
– He's talking. Okay. He's cheating.
No, I am cheating. That would be a cheat, and I would yell at people.
All right, thanks for calling him out on that.
Well, that's the reason we're going over this.
That is absolutely true. You are – 100% correct. The one thing that does is that pulls that spine out of that neutral position.
Okay.
And when that spine is out of that neutral position, you are in a compromising position for injury.
Because it's kind of easier to lift your head because you're trying to squeeze your core. So you have to consciously relax this part while you tighten your core.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you have to be intentional about that. And that's why I was just checking to make sure when I'm personally doing it, that I'm doing it correctly. So then now I can teach correctly. So.
And there's a million ways to teach this movement. I mean, I've seen it, like I said, Eric Cressy does one. You can go on YouTube, you can find all sorts of different people that are huge in the strength and conditioning profession or the rehab profession or stuff like that and find stuff. So
yeah, I don't think there's a bad way to do it per se, as long as the pelvic tilt or the pelvic position is maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's maintained, which you can't maintain by bringing your head up.
Mm-hmm.
Or for some people, even turning your head.
But keeping everybody does
neutral.
It.
If you maintain the neutral, then everything else is fluff off of that, almost.
Absolutely.
You know.
And, I mean, those honestly are a lot of my major things that I'll have them do at practice. And it might be the simplest thing in the world, but I remember some people telling me, keep it simple, stupid. And honestly, now, I've got a lot more things written down, but that is my major. Those are my major things that I can sit, and because I've taught them up so well, glute, core, obviously I'll add in some different core exercises. I'll do the bird dogs with, sometimes I'll bring pipes out to practice so that we'll have the PVC pipe there at practice. I'll have them do stuff like that. I'll have them do anti-rotationals with bands.
Yeah.
Say what?
Fire hydrants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fire hydrants. I'll have them do stuff like that. But that's where I base a lot of, especially those guys that, you know, they're not coming back for several weeks, or they're not coming back because I'm already hitting them in the athletic training room with their rehab for that joint, for that injury. And then I can also try and knock it out for, all right, this is what you're going to do out here. You're going to only add on top of that out there, and then, or in the athletic training room, in the rehab facility, and then add again on top of that when they go into the weight room, so that they bring this stuff into the weight room. And I always personally get with my strength coach, try and find out what their verbiage is for what they're calling for. All right, this is what I'm going to tell them inside in a sprint, knee up, toe up. Knee up, toe up is a big one that, you know, I know the strength coach sits at Rice now. That is his cue. Knee up, toe up, knee up, toe up. So when I'm in a dead bug position, I'm preparing them for knee up, toe up in a sprint position, or I'm putting them on a wall in a wall drill in a knee up, toe up position so that they can then translate to the strength coach so that they now are hearing it from me and hearing it from him. So then we're kind of meshing together.
It's a team. There's no doubt about that.
Jeremy, how much time do we have left? I mean, obviously we can't go till 3 o'clock, but I think because that goes into it in that you had a strength coach, okay? We don't in our we have a coach that's in charge of the weight room. That's a different animal. But I think we need to do another one of these and talk about a little bit today. What can they do in the weight room when they can't do what everybody else is doing? And that's where it gets really hard.
All right, so I'll put that on the topic.
You know.
And we'll bring that back because
Bubba can't go squat because he's had knee surgery. But Bubba needs to be in the weight room working his lower body with everybody else.
Well, there's a couple things that I added here. Going very quick, I guess, because we probably are getting close. When I get really excited about this stuff. I love this stuff, so I get woo! And I can talk really fast. So, So some of the things that I've added in are actually within regard to general work. So no matter the injury, I'll put them through the band work. I'll put them through the glute work. I'll put them through the core work. They'll be doing that on their own. I've watched them. I've done it in rehab. They've seen it. So then throughout the progression, they might change, whether it be I might have them out there doing some bounding. I might have them out there doing a wall drill. The wall drill is basically where you get them up about 3 steps back from a wall and you actually work that foot drive position. So that movement, I will tell you that if you pull 10 athletes, probably 9 of which are going to have that butt wink and that butt drop, tilt as they drive that foot up. And that's why I do the glute exercises. But, when I go, let's say, general things to make them work. Something that they used a lot at Rice actually was brought in from Auburn from Coach Yoxall, Kevin Yoxall, as a salty dog. It's basically this wooden sled. Very easy to slide across the turf or grass or whatever you're wanting to do. But when you make them do it one leg, it's a whole different animal. But it slides very easily. It slides a lot easier than a typical sled or something like that. But it's a one-legged training device that I know he would use out for our ankle injuries, our knee injuries, our hamstring injuries. That was something that he brought in and started using, and I know they're still using there. And me, when I first saw it, it was phenomenal. Because it now puts you into, one, it puts you in a little bit more neutral position, in a shoulder overhead position. So it doesn't put you like way out over your head if you've got a shoulder injury, but it puts you more here. And what that then does is it's a single leg sled pushing and you're getting glute, you're getting hamstring, you're getting that
drive. Are you supporting the other leg somehow on the sled?
You're holding it up.
Oh, really?
You hold it up. It is a hop. So it is down and you're in that sled position and you are hopping and you are pushing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, it was terrible. It was awful. It's like
it's the loaded version of bear crawls one-legged is what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now it's easier when they don't, once you get it, it's like bear crawls. It's like sled pushes. When you get it and you get the movement of it, it's so easy. And you can be so fast at it. But when you are so like, I don't get this, I don't get that.
It's that kid, it's like the kid that can't do crutches.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it
was. When you don't get it, man, it will take forever to finish. But out there we'll do, for the upper extremity guys that, you know, might not be able to do some of the stuff, we'll do sleds where they pull sleds. They throw a belt around them. They've got a strap and they're pulling sleds. They'll do lunges with sleds. They'll do side lunges with sleds.
Lateral movement.
They'll do
walking backwards
with sleds. They'll do everything.
I'll put people on those little stools. We've all got stools there with the wheels on it. And they'll pull themselves with a straight leg, reach out in front of them.
I used to let them race, and that got a little bit out of control, so we had to stop that. Because all of a sudden, some guy would yank the leg out from the other one, and you know.
That hamstring work, that really, I mean, it'll light up your hamstring when you do it, too. So, but those are some things out on the field that I'll do. Let's see.
Jeremy.
I'm getting it.
Oh, you got it.
So, general things, other things I'll have them do out on the field sometimes or in the weight room is pistol squats. The salty dog, like I said, pistol squats, I'll have them pistol squat to a bench. So, I mean, they might only be dropping their butt down about 3 inches because, you know, some of these guys don't have the strength in their leg there to get a true depth pistol squat with proper technique. Sometimes we'll use a TRX band. Sometimes we'll use the super band. Sometimes we'll use I'll put a band under their butt. So they're actually getting like a lift and it takes the tension out of the band, so the higher they get, which technically the stronger they should be getting. So they'll actually use it there. We've used that in the weight room when we've kind of done some circuit things. That was something I did. But one thing you guys said was the Airdyne bike. And me personally, I love the Airdyne bike for calories. So I'll do the Airdyne bike. Now, you keep it at an RPM. Hey, you're keeping it at this RPM for this amount of time. But I love the Airdyne bike for calories because I can say, you've got 20 calories, go. They're going to go
as quick as you get them done.
Fast as they can go because they want it over.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they're done it with the calories, and then they're all like, whoa.
Yeah.
So then you've got 20 calories of nice and easy. I want you going as easy as you can go. Or I usually don't do it in calories like that. I'll do it in minutes. So I'll go calories, and then I want a minute, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever, of straight, let's just go and keep a constant pace. And that's where I'm listening to, all right, bump that up. You need to be above 30 RPM. You need to be above something like that. And the Airdyne bikes are great because you've got arm movement. You've got upper extremity movement. You sit them back. Where we go back to firing their core, we go back to pulling those shoulder blades back, squeezing those shoulder blades. We go back to all of that. Plus, all right, they're post-surgical a week or whatever your doctor has said that, hey, you can now come back to, you can start sweating over that. Let's go back to start exercising. You can stick them on one arm and two legs, and they're getting cardio in. And that's huge.
And even some of your upper extremity only kids, just propping their feet up and getting arms only is going to wear them out enough.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out what your RPMs you want them to be at to do that worked really well.
So we'll do elevated split squats. If somebody's in a boot, ankle injury, foot injury, throw them up on an elevation. Sometimes, and no, I honestly do those in my training a lot anyway, just because it adds a lot of glute exercise. People don't understand the amount of what a lunge does for you.
All right, so elevated split squat. I mean, I know, me putting my foot on a bench?
They have rollers that are really nice, but I'll go this way. They have rollers that are really nice that you can add to some of the weight racks and stuff like that, and they have some that are just freestanding. But the elevated split squat is, so this foot is up. This foot is non-weight bearing. I'm not getting any pressure on that, especially if I'm on a roller or a better bench than this chair. And as I come down into that split squat or into that lunge, I'm now firing my butt. I'm keeping my foot not out over my toe. I'm keeping it back over my heel. I'm keeping it turned out. I'm getting my rotation there in my foot.
No valve.
Where I'm driving my foot into the ground and turning it into the ground. And I'm now driving up.
All right, so looking at that, the ankle, there's a lot of movement in the back ankle. So if you had an ankle injury, are you really going to be able to do that?
If they're in a walking boot, you're not going to get a lot of movement out of that. And if you're on,
you put them on a roller,
roller, which they actually design rollers for that, or there are better things than a chair where you're I'm getting a lot of movement here. But if you're in a walking boot, you're not going to get any movement there. And we'll throw them on that all the time. I know our strength staff does that all the time on our single leg guys.
I'm impressed with your split squat and holding it. That was
kneeling wall balls. I'll do a lot of stuff kneeling, or I'll do a seated dumbbell clean or snatches. So you can be on a seat and you can be in a seated position. You can have them snatch their dumbbells. You can have them going. I like sitting in a kneeling position anyway. I like actually doing some of my cleans and my snatches from a kneeling position. Because starting here, I actually get drive and I get hip drive out of it. So I'll train from my knees instead of being in a standing position. So I'll train like this and then get that snatch or get that clean. But we can now have these guys do that. You're non-weight bearing. You're off the ground. As long as you're not leaning them back,
right?
You're not going heavy with them. You're not getting explosive with them. You're not getting super dynamic with them, but it is a dynamic movement because you're now teaching them to triple extension. You're now teaching them to, well, not triple extension because you're taking out your ankle, but you're teaching parts of that triple extension in your Olympic movements.
Well, and just a hip thrust off the table or on the ground, too, is a great exercise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know one of the things I like, and I think it can be applied in this, is landmines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can take a bar outside with a couple of plates and put it against the wall and then wear some stuff out, too.
And you want to talk about the core stability that it takes to get into a front squat landmine press,
yeah,
or a front squat landmine thruster, or any
rotational
type of
stuff,
rotational
like
movement with your landmine. Oh my gosh, it's a huge tool. And you know, sometimes if you've got just an old crappy barbell, you can shove it in the corner out there on your football field and just have them do some rotational stuff there. You don't need to bring the plates out and actually have the stuff to stick it in the ground. And I mean, that's a cheap way to do it. I do it in my home gym. And I don't have a landmine press or the fancy buildup of a landmine. I've just got my regular old Leco bar, and I go after it. So,
I mean, realistically, you could put a band on it.
Yeah. You can. Throw a band on it. Man, that'd be, I like that. I might be adding that. The banded,
Landmine.
Resistance landmine. So, banded flexion, knee flexion, obviously, that's big things out there. Anything that I do with the guys that are injured is I'm just really trying to get some general physical preparedness, GPP training. So that's the go out and fight a Wolverine or a whatever, you know, just some general training, just that it might not make them a lot better.
Not all of us have a beard to fight a Wolverine.
This is true. But it might not.
It hides the scars.
It might not make them a lot better, but it's going to do a lot of good. And it's going to add a lot to their cardiovascular conditioning. It's going to add a lot to their strengthening. And I focus so much on the core and the posterior chain and, like I said, the show muscle or the go muscles that we're really trying to build up on something that, you know what, hey, you know what, they're not getting a practice in, but they're getting something in. I love manual resistance stuff. I love a manual resistant exercise later in rehab. And then having them go do a dynamic work, so like a manual resistant eccentric load on hamstring curls, and then go have them do some step ups and just lights that system up. You get that neurological response, and I mean, they get toasted after that, just off of manual resistance exercises.
Well, eccentric, because you can do eccentric as well as concentric. Eccentric, we all know, is going to build you some strength really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like I love the Russian hamstrings, and what I found the cheat is you can put them on the lat pull machine and hook their ankles that way,
mm-hmm,
and get a plyo box or something if you don't have a partner, you know, and go into the push up and bring yourself back.
Have that like bounce back.
Yes.
Yep. Back to some of those little different deals you've got in back injuries and in lower. A lot of times, more so in back injuries, sometimes shoulder injuries as well. You've got the belt squats, the belt squat machines, they are the pit shark machines. What they actually are is they're a belt-loaded squatting device. So you're loaded, you have a Spud Inc. belt. Spud is a type of weight belt. It's a type of, they do a lot of harnesses, they do a lot of stuff like that, but they have an amazing belt that you can use, and it comes around, it wraps around, and it has two D-rings right here in front. That belt is only $36 for an athletic trainer, for a strength coach, for whatever. That belt, you buy that belt now, and you hook a chain through there with a little bit of weight on it, and you have them stand up on some plyo boxes, and as they stand up on those that plyo boxes and they have that belt on, and they come down into a squat position, they're in that squat position now with that weight. So I'm standing on plyo boxes or I'm standing on something here. That weight is going between it. I'm taking all spinal loading off.
Right.
By getting that position right there. And by getting that depth and that position. And then they have a very, very expensive Pit Shark machine that is made exactly for that. And that Pit Shark machine is amazing. It's a very expensive item, but that's what it does, is it's a belt-loaded squatting machine that aren't loaded on your spine.
Well, that's one of the beauties also of the landmine. You can squat with load, but it's taking a ton off your spine, mm-hmm, because you've got to hold it out here. So the core's activated. Mm-hmm. Your glutes have got to be working to be able to do this properly. Plus, it teaches good technique at the same time, but it's not loading the spine.
Exactly. You're not loading that spine. You're not getting, you're not, and I mean, there are several doctors that, how many times have you gotten a student athlete that comes in and they say, well, I have a back injury. I can't ever spinally load again. And I'm like, all right, well, I've had back injuries. I've had disc injuries. I know I squat pretty heavy. Is that wrong? Is that right? I'm not saying the doctor's wrong. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that
but we have a workaround.
There are ways that we can work around that.
Yeah.
So there's perfect examples of a machine like that. When you go...
Ooh, that's nasty. Split squat on a slide board I've seen, but not with elevated front foot. That's nasty.
Yes. So
that is nasty.
Joe Rogowski, I believe he did a podcast with you, Jeremy. He has this fantastic device, and I kind of had played with this a little bit before he came out with this deal, and I love this thing. I've just never been able to been someplace where I could purchase one, so I've kind of done my own... Poor man's version of it. It's like the poor man's glute ham, except it's the poor man's slide board step up. So you'll actually be, I'll put a slide board on a elevated box. Now, this is something that I get right around them for to make sure that there's not a fall possibility here. So I'm there. I'm standing there. But so they're elevated up on that box with the slide board behind me. And as I'm in that position, I'll have them... take that foot, this foot has your sock on it, your slide board sock, and it will slide back all the way, and then I'll drive up, coming back like that.
But you're then you would be elevating the right foot.
The right foot, yeah. The front foot.
How high?
The front foot, basically what it will actually look like is it'll look like this. This is my slide board. You need a thicker slide board. You can't have just the slide portion of it.
It's got to be on.
You actually have the true plywood board.
Because you don't have the floor supporting it. Right. So you've got
and if they come back and they put all their weight back there, you're going to break your slide board. But if you're there and you're protecting them, all right, we're going to stop. We're going to protect you here. We're going to keep you on there. They put that foot out over their heel. They put their weight out over that heel. And they drop back into that slide position. And then come back up, it lights you up.
It's a killer.
Oh, my gosh. It lights you up.
I can just envision it going, oh, that sucks.
My guys, when they would see that come up on their rehab sheet, because my rehab sheet's very conjugate style and like old school training style where it changes every day instead of it being like you're going to do very similar stuff for a week, they would be like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to go do this. So... but the air bike, I said the spud belt, some stuff like that. Anything with the back, I really like, Stuart McGill. I don't know if you guys have followed some of his stuff or read some of his books. He's got the perfect back. There's some extremely talented powerlifters that hold world records that are because of some of his research, and they're actually taking spines and doing spinally loading research under cameras to show what forces affect on them. Other than that, I mean, those are the different things. And honestly, my biggest thing is I'll go through my FMS, or I'll go through my functional movement screen of them, which might not be the true FMS, but my watching them and seeing them move. And if I find out that you have a pronation in your foot and, you know, your hip is injured, I'm going to focus my rehab on your hip probably and some there in the foot. But some of my things that we're going to do out on the field that you're going to be doing off on your own is going to be different. So manuals can always fit in with stuff in the weight room. Do a lot of manual resistance if you've got the time, if you've got the staff to do such. A manual resistance press. Like I'm throwing a dumbbell in this hand and I can only press because I have a navicular fracture in this hand. Guess what? Somebody can put me some resistance here and I can get that chest movement. I can get that right. Training there. That takes bodies. That takes people. You can also do it with bands. I can sit here, I can throw some bands, a super band around a bench. I can come up and I can just do my band work. Hold the band in this arm. Wrap it around this arm. It's underneath my bench. Do some pressing.
Yeah. Some of this you can do with partners too. That are so. Yeah.
You're doing it with your training partner, because guess what? I can kind of help them spot a little bit, and then all of a sudden I jump in, I get my work in. It might not be as good because I don't have two hands to do it, but I can press still.
Well, if you got two that both have upper extremity problems, you put them together to work, then they're competing against each other.
Right. Exactly.
You're going to get better.
But you can also turn that around and the same thing, go muscles for the shoulder,
uh-huh.
You know, reverse fly versions
uh-huh.
with band.
Posterior. You know. Everybody forgets the posterior. They always
What's
want
that?
The anterior.
I, posterior.
Big quads and big chest.
That's why we have all these shoulder
and
problems.
Abs. You're right. Yeah. Let's see, towels. Putting a towel around their elbow, having them do resistance against a towel, and then mainly a lot of the wraps with D-rings. So you get those on the, what are they called? It's kind of like the weight rack systems, the with the cables, the cable systems, or the Kaiser machines,
yeah.
The air Kaiser machines. You get the D-rings there, and you can actually do some pressing. Pull a bench back up to them and do some flies, do some presses,
But there's nothing with this.
Holding on to anything. I've got it wrapped here, or I've got it wrapped here.
Yeah.
So those are a lot of the things that I add in when it comes to stuff. And I know that there's a lot of stuff there. I mean, and the thing is, we are so versed in athletics and in sports and in movements and in training that as athletic trainers, that us, along with our strength coaches, along with our position coaches, sport coaches, can probably come up with something.
Right.
And something that will work a lot. And those are just a few of the things that I could come up with when we were kind of going over this.
All right, so there was a ton of exercises, and again, the YouTube video has Sean doing that and him coaching me up on how to do that, so definitely check that out. But the one thing we wanted to come back to was what does this look like with a single athletic trainer? So, Bob, you work at East Bernard. You said there's closets in houses bigger than the athletic training room there.
Yeah, we don't do anything in the training
room. Your athletic training there is inside of a locker room.
Right. We do it outside. We'll go in the gym. We take our slide board in the gym, and we do a lot of shoulder work with – we'll put gloves on, and we'll have them do slide work with their upper extremities if they can't do something lower body. We got them reaching all the way out, DS2 boards.
Shout out Roland Ramirez, DS2.
Yeah, there you go. give me a raise. No.
Send one over to us, Roland. We'll put it on the video.
Well, I think he's done a talk.
Didn't, yeah, he did way back in the day.
They are fantastic.
Work with us, Bob.
But we hang stuff from our track shed, and we've got them working upper body.
TRX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from hanging. We do a lot of medicine ball work, a lot of medicine for trunk work. But the biggest thing, and it goes back to what Sean was saying, is watch their mechanics. Don't just see what the motion is at the injured site. See what's going on. With their feet, with their hips, with their belt buckle, all that. I mean, that's what we try and pride our stuff on is treating the whole body, not just the injured part.
I think, though, to go with what you're asking, Jeremy, there is a point where, you know, Sean mentioned it and we've all kind of talked about it. If you're cheating, you're not just cheating yourself, you're cheating your team. And I think the one thing we've got to have is to say, okay, you know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. I can't babysit you. But at some point, we need to have a functional test. And it has to incorporate these movements, these things they've been working on. And so if they can't pass the test, you've cheated yourself because you didn't do it right over here. You know, so that to me is the deal. I'm not gonna put a student in charge of being a tattletale for you. You've got to do it. I can't hold your hand. But at some point, if you don't do it, you won't be able to do this, which means you won't be able to go play if you really want to play.
Like, we got a kid right now. He was like, hey, can I start running off an ankle sprain? I'm like, all right, well, let me see your calf raises. And he's bending his knees to cheat because he can't do a full calf raise. I'm like, buddy, you can't do a full calf raise. So you know what you have to work on. You have to work on the calf raises with 2 feet. And then with 1 foot, you have to work on that stretching. And we're also doing foam rolling and core stuff, which, again, I need to be sure that I'm monitoring them better now that I better know how to do the dead bugs and that kind of stuff. But just like you're saying, there are some some functional tests here, but... again, just another idea of what did that look like for you when you were in the high school?
I'd tell them, look, I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to make sure you can do it. But at some point, I can't hold your hand. And so either you're going to do it or you're going to cheat. And if you cheat, we'll eventually know. because there'll be a point where you can't do the clearance activity you need to do to go be fully released. And that's how I left it, because if they couldn't do it, you know, and usually one of their teammates would rat them out, but you didn't ask them to. They're like, hey, Bob's not doing his stuff.
Yeah,
I'll guarantee he's not.
And so, yeah. But, you know, so then you'd go, okay, and you'd catch them periodically. And then after a while, you'd be like, look, I'm done messing with you. Either you're going to do it or you're not. And, you know, they're humans. We can't make them, you know. But, make again, going with Sean said, making sure they know how to do it right, that they know what they're supposed to be doing, that's all, just like being in a classroom. That's all we can ask. They've still got to put in the work.
So, Bob, you are talking about being in the gym, and you're also talking about track shed. So those are two completely different locations. How can you monitor their form, as we were just discussing you need to do, but in both spots?
We try and pair it up to where everybody's got to do the stuff in the gym, we do in the gym, and then we go out to the track. So I got them running on the track or doing diagonals on the field while I'm watching the kid doing the pull-ups and the inverted pull-ups. Got a stationary bike out there that we can wheel out, so those people I can put on the bike. I don't have an Airdyne if somebody wants to give me one.
I've never worked in high school, but working in a junior college, I've worked there.
Yeah, you have. And you've worked in high school.
I've worked in 17 junior college sports, three of which went to national championship games, and so a pretty successful junior college. It's a lot of the buy-in from your athletes because of, you know, the top. If this is something you want, if you're doing this because, you know, mom and dad told you to, that's kind of a bad reason to do anything. Mm-hmm. That because your brother did it or something like that. If you're doing that because of that, it's probably a bad reason. But if you're truly wanting football, if you're truly wanting rugby, if you're truly wanting rodeo, whatever your sport is, you've got to buy into that. J.J. Watt did not get where he was at. Now, yes,
he's got talent.
He's got some genetics there that are a lot better than mine, but size wise, but it's his desire, and everything that I've read is he has that work ethic, that desire, and people that I know that have worked with him have that desire. There's athletes that I've had at the junior college setting that I know anytime they came in, this kid has an issue because he doesn't like to complain, and he also, any bit of information that I give him, he eats it up. And really, really get those type of athletes to help you help their teammates, because everybody's got those type of athletes. Now that kid's one of the linebackers for the Washington Redskins, and he came out of a junior college. And so he put in the work, he put in the time, and he's now at that level because any time that he would do something, he would do it 100%. Now, he would also help his teammates do that as well, and he brought them along with him.
And he enjoyed helping them.
You're right.
He took pride in that.
Absolutely.
Those are the kind of kids you got to utilize.
I would push to those kids a lot and be like, hey, you need to check in on your boy. You need to have a come to Jesus meeting or a whatever you want to call it of this is you need to take care of yourself or you're not going to get any better or you're not going to have a season or you're not going to come back next year.
That's typically the same kid that we all hope we have at least one of that would take you aside and say, if you don't get this right, you and I are going to have a talk and you won't like the outcome.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So, yeah. And I mean, also just teaching them the what they need. This is what I need, and giving them that education of, hey, I know what I'm doing. You know what? If you do your dead bug and you do it a little bit wrong, you're still getting the work in. You might not be getting the work in to the point of where you're going to get the most out of it, but you're still getting a lot of work in. And you're probably, however, if my way that I showed you the dead bug was different than your way was still doing probably 100 times better than somebody that wasn't doing it. So no matter the situation, now you're always going to get those cheaters that are like really out there and not doing anything. But
I did my 30 straight leg raises in 15 seconds.
Yes.
All right, Bob, you said you kind of grouped the kids together in the gym and then went out to the track. Do you have a resource that you prefer to go to look at, maybe a set of workouts, or do you have something you've written up or printed up prepared for, all right, you know, this general injury, or, you know, here's a general set of exercises, but we're going to modify.
I think we've all got protocols in our back pocket that we keep. And so, yeah, I've got things like that. But then you have to tailor them to each individual for different strengths and weaknesses. This is where their deficit is. This is where they're, when you watched him early on, you go, oh, I know his posterior calf is weak, or we got to work on that. But yeah, I've got a general protocol guideline of exercise that I'd like to use for each different thing.
And is that something you have available online?
No, but if somebody wants to email me, I can send them for whatever injuries they want.
Yeah. All right, well, then how are they going to email you?
bob.marley@uth.tmc.edu.
All right, and I also have that email. Bubba has that email. Sean has that email, or can mm-hmm. get it from me either way. So you can email Bob and get some of those protocols there. Great.
If you don't have Bob's email, something's wrong with you between that and a cell phone.
Hey, there's people in China that listen to this, okay? All right. So.
They probably have it too. There's some of them.
Probably.
He's known worldwide. Look at his name.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Bubba, do you have a go-to resource for getting exercises or protocols?
No. A lot of this on the field, in the gym stuff, I think, again, we all probably have set exercises we do, but I think a lot of it is fly by the seat of your pants a little bit. How much time do I have? What's the conditions outside? Or how much space am I going to get in the gym? And then what all different, you know, injuries am I dealing with at the same time? So it may be, look, I got 20 minutes because we got rained out of outside and we're just trying to go in and do some team for football in the gym. So I just need to get over here and we're going to do some core work today. So I don't have a set, you know, in that regard.
Right. Well, you know, having that set sheet, or some people have binders, that I think it helps reduce the anxiety or the overwhelmingness of, all right, well, I've got five different kids from five different sports all needing work. So if you say, okay, well, here's this list, we're going to be following this. So, you know, like I said, you can email Bob and get some of his list.
I probably had exercises and different things all around, but I might go, again, today I got 15 minutes, so we're going to,
right,
here we go. And so, you know, but nothing, no true set, you know, here we go.
Yeah, I definitely understand the ad lib part and getting what you can when you can. But if you have a list and say, all right, we're going to get 1, 3, and 6 today or whatever it is, you know. But all right, Sean, go-to resource for some of these exercises besides the YouTube video where you're demonstrating everything.
A lot of my back stuff comes from Stuart McGill, like I said. Love his stuff. Absolutely phenomenal with anything back related. A lot of my mobility stuff comes from Kelly Starrett, Mobility Wad. Used to be kind of affiliated CrossFit-ish, now is on his own. He's a PT out of California, does a lot of mobility movement stuff. I follow a lot of the FMS stuff. This is kind of where I was telling you last week on the Instagram. I really like it because it pops up the video. I can see what they're doing. I can kind of go work on it. I can adjust it to maybe an injury, adjust it to an exercise. Going back to the cleans, those were a way to learn how to do cleans and actually use your hips, where now I've encompassed it into getting you back into pulling for somebody that's now injured. So just having an open eye for that type of stuff, honestly. I do a lot of the rehab guys. I follow them a lot. I follow the WAD doc. He's a chiropractor, workout of the day doctor. He's a CrossFit guy. I follow a lot of strongman exercises. There is a huge emphasis in strongmen that can kind of relate to rehab, because they have to keep very tight, very strong in certain positions, and they'll do very simple exercises for that. Do I have anything written down? Yes, I have things kind of really noted really bad. I've got all my notes from college and stuff like that I still have that, you know, I've pulled Dr. Andrews or Dr. Lowe's or Dr., you know, all these different doctors, Dr. McCullough's, Dr. Winston's, all these different rehab protocols that I've pulled together. But I, you know, kind of when it comes down to it, is I'm such a scatterbrain when it comes to writing a rehab that I'll look at each kid so individually that there's no one thing that I can say. But then I'll see these things and I'll say, hey, this kid's got an issue there. I wonder how I can do it. And then that's where I'll go play with it and add it into my own programming. And before I'll put it on them, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, this is something we're doing. And then that's how like the elevated slide board came in. And that's how some different stuff like that came in. So there's a lot of different resources out there, and I will share any of that with anybody. But
all right, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sean Reedy_ATC on Twitter, and SeanReedyATC@gmail.com.
And also, he loves Instagram, so find him on Instagram. Is that Sean Reedy?
SeanReedyATC.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's good branding right there, except for the one underscore.
Kind of. Yeah, you know, I had to go with it though. Yeah. So
I got a minor in marketing.
Well, it took me a couple hundred episodes of the podcast to learn to have similar branding on all the stuff. So that was the recent move to Mr. Jeremy Jackson, because it was kind of the only thing I could really come up with. All right. It is National Athletic Training Month, and we're recording this. Sean, only one this time. You gave me like three last time. Bob, an athletic trainer you would like to thank?
Sandy Miller. Sandy Miller was my head athletic trainer in college. Taught me how to be an athletic trainer. Taught me how to treat coaches and athletes. He's tremendous.
Bubba?
I'm giving you two. You can't stop me because I'm on here.
I can record.
No, you can't. The first one is Tommy Rollins. He is no longer an athletic trainer. He went into the dark side of administration. He was my high school athletic trainer that got me into the profession, that got me interested in it. And then Mike Sims, who, congratulations, is going into the SWATA Hall of Fame this summer. So he's at Baylor University.
Sean?
Other than who I gave, I'm going to go with Ryan Collins. He's at Northwestern. When I was an undergrad, he was one of the athletic trainers there, one of my preceptors, and wasn't a preceptor then. But first day, my clinicals, I roll in. I'm a student. I say, there's a swimmer out here with a foot injury. And he goes, well, go figure out what's wrong with him. And I was like, all right, that's how it's going to be. And from then on, that's kind of how it was. And so that opened my eyes to a lot. And I've never really told him that, but I think I think about that a lot.
Very cool. Bob, in case you didn't know, yesterday when we did this, I asked the same question, and you were the guy that I mentioned it's kind of like always been a father figure, because even when I was at HBU, I knew you and
you still owe him money.
I do.
that's a long podcast ago. But thank you. Well, you were the one that I wanted to thank then. And then today I want to thank Chad Jones. He is an administrator, he's a principal. He worked here at Adobe and then at Pearland, and he actually drove me to Lamar University to do an interview. So, you know, that's an hour and a half away that he decided to drive me over there, because that was his alumnus, Greg graduated from, whatever. And
his school.
Yeah, his school. There you go. So much easier.
Alma mater.
He really chose to invest in me. And he was only there my senior year of high school. And he made that decision. And then what I ended up doing was going to Houston Baptist University, because they offered me a full scholarship. But just taking that time and you know, there was a couple times I did dumb things and he got onto me and hey, because he cared, because he wanted me to do well. So Chad Jones, thanks for pretty much shaping me into who I am right now as an athletic trainer. So you got ways to contact everybody. On Twitter, I'm Mr. Jeremy Jackson. This show is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/alternatives. You can definitely check out, by the time this comes out, I will have announced who the winner is for the sports medicine update this summer, which again, Bob puts that on as an amazing workshop.
I'm not eligible.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're just watching the YouTube, check that out. You can register to win during National Athletic Training Month, the workshop that Memorial Hermann is putting on. A great, great opportunity to get some very high quality CEUs. And then you'll see all four of us there, probably. I don't know. I think Sean will be there. Sean may be running the podcast for me by then. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/alternatives. I am Jeremy Jackson. We got Bob Marley, Bubba Wilson, and Sean Reedy. And that is a wrap.
My wife has not come on board to allow me to spend, you know, the money for a kayak and a paddle and a personal flotation device. And so the other day we were in Costco, and she goes, "That was pretty
so
cheap."
She's okay with the keg, just not the flotation.
That's an expense she doesn't want me to have. And then she wants me to tie weights to my ankles for some reason. I can't figure that out either. But she's like, "Well, that's a good price." I'm like, "That's only $400." I said, "You get what you pay for in kayaks." However,
I'm telling you,
a little silicone, and you can.
I'm telling you, you go to Academy or one of those places like that, you can get some of those $200 kayaks that are. For what you're going to use it for.
Yeah.
And the guy, like, I'll see guys down there in the bay, and I'll start talking to them, and we'll just start shooting the crap while we're fishing. And they'll have their $1,000, $1,700 kayak, and I'm sitting in my little one, and they'll be like, "Oh, man, I remember when I had one of those. I tell you what, I almost wish I wouldn't have given it up for this thing. I mean, it's nice, but that thing, I could get a little bit more. I had better float, you know." So...
Yeah, I'd like to get one because where my mom's house is, if you go one stoplight, that line, not even a mile down, and then go on the intercoastal side, there's a little easy place to get in right by the seafood restaurant. You can just kayak the hell out of the intercoastal and all that marsh area.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Just that'd be.
That's always fun.
But you got to be able to, you got to paddle to it. You can't, you know, you can't wade to that.
So. That is one reason why I'd like to get a bigger one. There is a really nice one at Bass Pro. Man, you can put a little engine on it, or a little battery up trolling motor on it. Pop that thing down.
Well, see, the one I like there is they've got that lime green one now, which I'm all about, because when Jeremy and I were coming back, we were in Padre for the conference, I'm looking at all those guys. I'm like, you can't see them. That'd be my luck. Some jackass would run me over. I want something that glows in the freaking dark, man. I want it fluorescent. And that lime green one, I'm like, there we go, right there. $650 for a 12-foot lime green one.
Those are nice, though. But I tell you what, you need to check those out, because especially like Black Fridays, I have seen them multiple times. And I mean, you're talking $400, $500 kayaks, $600 kayaks that they sell for $200.
Yeah.
And they are the, what I would call the fishing kayak. I'd take one of those over some of those big $1,000 kayaks any day.
Yeah.
But I've got a little 12-foot extra wide, extra deep John boat with fishing seats that I had up in Illinois for bass fishing, and I need to get a little like 2 or 3 horse motor for it to get out there on the bay.
Yeah, the problem is though, those suckers, they're proud of those little bitty motors.
I know they are.
Holy God.
You can get a 9 horse for the price that you can get a 2 horse for.
Yeah.
It's like, cool.
Actually, you got to go on eBay and hope somebody's, you know, selling one that you can win the bid on.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Whenever you are. Are we, you know, no kids?
I'll be here in just a minute. Oh. It's been going for a couple minutes.
we're talking fishing.
We're getting the fishing. Yeah. You know, we're just passing along fishing knowledge.
Yeah. He thought he was ready.
Well, after seeing what Sean's got, I feel totally unprepared. I'm just going to sit back and watch.
Can you do that exercise again? That's all you're going to say. Do that again.
Demonstrate that one more time.
Do that 30 more times.
Yeah. Let's load him with some weight when he does that.